Revelation chapter 22. If we finish today, and we should. I love it when the Lord gives us a disclaimer, because we never have to. He says, when you say anything, say if the Lord wills. So it's never my fault, okay? It's just if the Lord wills, we'll finish up Revelation today and we'll begin the book of Romans next Sunday, the constitution of the Christian faith. It's quite a book. Revelation chapter 22, begin our reading at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things, in, or more literally, over the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who is hearing, heareth is a participle, let the one who is hearing say, come. And let the one who is thirsting, again a participle, come. And whosoever will, that is whoever is willing, again another participle, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to each one that hears, or I testify together with each one that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, or more literally a scroll. If anyone shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that have been written in this book. And if anyone should take away from the words of the book or scroll of this prophecy, God will take away his part from out of the book of life, and from out of the holy city, and from out of the things which have been written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, amen, or certainly, I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice literal translation, is with you all, amen. Notice the word be in verse 21 is in italics. It was added by the translators. But in the Greek language, with no verb, in the text, it is a me verb, present tense. He's not asking for the grace of God to be with us, but he's saying factually, the grace of God is with you all. As we said last week in verse, starting with verse 16, we've got several sections. As we finish the book, we saw the process in verse 16 that I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things over the churches. Same thing he said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. God gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to his angel, and his angel gave the revelation to his servant John in order for all of his servants and even the churches to receive the revelation. It is a singular revelation. It's not the book of Revelations, it's the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we saw the profession. Jesus said, I am the root and the offspring of David. A fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, about the Messiah. Also, he says that he is the bright morning star. We saw how a star is associated with the Christ. In Numbers 24:17, that's the prophecy that the Magi, or wise men, saw over in the Mesopotamian area, that a star would appear, that a star would come out of Jesse, and he would be the Messiah. We saw Jesus in John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Revelation 2:28, Jesus said to the overcomers he would give the morning star, which would be himself. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says, we have also the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts. The morning star is a technical term for the star that appears right before sunrise. It's announcing the coming of the rising of the sun. It's a very bright star, and Jesus Christ is the star. He is the light of the world that shines in a dark world right before he comes as the light of the world to conquer darkness. Verse 17, thirdly, we saw the presentation of the invitation. First of all, the Spirit. That would be the Holy Spirit, who we saw, first of all, in John 16, 8, convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, we saw that all manner of sin shall be forgiven a man. The only manner of sin that will not be forgiven a man is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, a rejection of the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus Christ. And so now, thirdly, now the Spirit is given invitation, saying, come. The Spirit and the bride in all through the New Testament is always the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is telling all those who are lost, come, come to Christ. The Holy Spirit is saying, come to Christ. We saw that just the invitation to come that we see in this text is taken from Isaiah 55, verse 1, where it says, ho, every man who thirsts, let him come, buy and eat. Let him buy without money. Just come and take. It's free. So the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who is hearing, notice this is a participle, let him say, come. Everybody that's listening to this prophecy of the book of Revelation, let them also join in and say, come to the Lord. And the one who is thirsting, again, a present participle showing his continual condition that expresses a strong sense of spiritual need. The one who is thirsting, let him come. And we saw from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, even Jesus said, the one who thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and I will give him living water. And he went on to explain that that is the Spirit of God, the life of God, and the Spirit of God flowing out from the belly or innermost being of a man. Again, in John 6, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. So the very life of the Spirit of God continually flowing in the heart and life of the believer satisfies all hunger and all thirst. And the fifth person we saw is the one who is willing. That's the literal translation. The one who is willing, let him take of the water of life freely. If it is in your will, and you are in a condition of willing and desiring to receive from Christ and be saved, then let him take from the water of life freely. No charge. Just come, as the invitation expresses. Verse 18 for this morning, the prohibition. The prohibition. John says, for I am testifying, this is the literal translation, for I am testifying with the ones who are hearing the words of the prophecy of this scroll. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've heard this term prophecy. The book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the book, entire book of Revelation is called prophecy. Now, in chapter 22, it is also making reference to this book as prophecy. It's actually a scroll at the time that it was written. So everyone who is hearing the words of the prophecy of this scroll. The word prophecy literally means something spoken through someone's mouth. A prophet is a spokesperson, a mouth of the Lord. The prophets in the Old Testament would go and seek the word of the Lord, and they would bring God's word and be the mouthpiece of God's word to the people. So they were called prophets, mouthpieces. In the New Testament, and especially from our text here, without getting into the debates as to what is prophecy and what is not, it is, first of all, let us understand this morning that Revelation 22 sets and establishes for us that the word of God that we have is called prophecy. And we'll see in a moment we are not to add to it or take away from it. Several places in Scripture it says, do not add to or take away from the word of God. But it is interesting, the last book of the New Testament, the last chapter of the New Testament, and we'll see it again in Jude next week in the first hour, is that God's word, the word that used to come from the prophets and through the prophets, God's word is now finished. So we don't dare listen to people come along and say, well, the prophets, I'm a prophet and I have a prophecy from God. That's adding to the word of God. Or to distract from that. I know there was a group in Oxnard that asked me to come up, and I was in L.A. at the time, and give a study on the book of Revelation because they wanted to learn about the flying saucers. And they had questions about being invaded from outer space. And I told them that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're not to get distracted from the presentation of who Jesus Christ is and the victory for every believer and what God's going to do. Well, that study lasted one time. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Uh-huh. No spacemen? No flying saucers? No. We're interested. But there are people who will do that. They will distract from it, try to sensationalize the things in the book in order to cause people to be interested. We are not to add to it or take away from it, as we'll see in a moment. So I am testifying with all of the ones who are hearing the words of the prophecy of this scroll, joining together. Here's the prohibition. If anyone should add to these things, God will add upon him the plagues which have been written in this scroll. Want to take a chance? And if anyone should remove from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God will remove his part from the book or scroll of life and from remove their name and part from out of the holy city and from out of those things which have been written in this book that are promises to God's people. God's very serious about how we handle his word. He's very exact and emphatic to reach us with the truth that God's word, the word that actually comes from God to us, is now finished. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Receive it for what it is. We will see from the book of Jude next week in verse 3. Jude says that I started to write to you concerning the common salvation that we all share. But Jude then says, I had a necessity placed upon me. He started to write about salvation, and God's Spirit came upon him and impressed him to write about the faith. He says, I'm writing to you, encouraging you to contend for the faith. The word contend is an athletic term. It comes from our words, two words, epi for over and agonizo for agonize. Agonizo was used in the New Testament to represent the Colosseum games. Any type of athletic activities that went on was called agonizo, agony. And if you've ever been involved in a sport, especially on a high amateur or professional level, you know that you go through agony to get ready. No pain, no gain, as we always say. So you expect that if you're going to participate in some kind of sporting activity, that in order to train for that, there's going to be some pain involved, some agony that you're going to have to persistently and consistently go through in order to reach your goal to be in condition. So he says, agonize over the faith, Jude tells them, is that there's going to be a challenge to your faith. There's going to be a challenge to the doctrines of the faith. Be a challenge to you. False teachers will come in and challenge you, entice you with teachings that will benefit you as a human being or even your flesh, but your spiritual condition it will harm, as we talked about in the first hour. So we are to be aware of that. He is not hiding this emphatic statement of this is it. In Jude, Jude talked about contend over the faith that has been once and for all delivered to the saints. That's pretty emphatic. Hapax in Jude means not just once, but once and for all. He's not handing out truth little by little as years go on. It was once and for all, aorist participle, has been delivered to the saints. So even in Jude, he says, people come along with new stuff that's not in the scriptures. You must reject them, no matter how good it sounds. In Revelation chapter 22, the warning is for the book of Revelation. Not just the whole Bible, but just for the book of Revelation. Anybody that adds to or takes away from the prophecies of this scroll, if you add to it, you're going through the tribulation. You take away from it, your name, your part will be taken out of the book of life. There are different books. There's the book of the Lamb. There's the book of life. There's the book with the seven seals that God held on the throne. That's all different. The book of life is a listing of all people who have lived. It's interesting, though, that when this earthly life is over and judgment has come and all things have been destroyed and all things have become new, those who have rejected Christ, their name will not even be found in the book, as if they had never been born. What he's telling people here, the seriousness of distracting from and taking away from God's message in the book of Revelation, is that your part will be taken away from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written in this scroll and promises for believers. It's all there for you if you want to come. But if you come, you have to accept or receive God's word. If you try to mess with it, it'll be revealed that you indeed are a false prophet, and it is false. So Jude says, agonize over the faith that is once and for all has been given to the saints. It's a one-time thing. There are other scriptures in the Old Testament that tell us even about the Old Testament. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Deuteronomy 4, 2. Moses said, don't add to God's word. And he's giving God's word. Also in Deuteronomy 12, 32. Again, Moses says, do not add to God's word. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, tells us to not add to or take away from the word of God. It's a very dangerous thing. And Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 26, 2, Jeremiah says not to add to the word of God. Stop and think about it just from a logical, reasonable standpoint, as people want to come along and present extra messages that are outside of the Bible as are coming from God. Number one, you can't prove it's coming from God. But number two, anything that anybody says that has come from God has to be the Word of God, right? If I stand before you today and say, last night God gave me a message to give to you, first thing you want to do is say, Brother Bill, before you do that, let me read Revelation 22 to you. But if I come to you and present to you that I have a special message from God, here's what God said, and then I read, it has to be the Word of God. It has to be equal to the Bible. It's got to be God's Word, right? But it's not. In fact, I haven't heard anybody yet that I have presented that to that said, well, God spoke to me last night. Well, that makes it the Word of God equal to the Bible, right? I said, oh, no, no. No, it's not. Well, it has to be. You know, if God speaks, it's God's Word, so it's got to be from God. Got to be equal to the Word, to the Bible. But they won't say it's equal. And they bring their own conviction and truth to light. God sets forth for us special limitations and guidelines for our benefit. How do I know that someone doesn't come along and just say, I have a message from God and he wants you to give me all your money? Well, let me see. If I don't and it is God, then I've disobeyed. If it's not, he's going to get all my money. So, you know, which, how do I determine whether it's God speaking or not? God knows that. Even in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 13, he says, that prophets are going to come and speaking in the name of the Lord. But if it is not the word of the Lord, they are false prophets, but I'm going to allow them to come to see if you love me or not. You'll be following after messages that you want to hear, that you want to be true, and not the truth, as God states it. But God is not limiting himself, he's limiting us. We are the ones that have the vain imaginations. We're the ones that are mystical. We're the ones that are deceived by emotional impressions and emotional energy, thinking that it's the Spirit of God. We are the ones that are deceived. God's not deceived. So God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I don't know if he said that or not, but I'm going to inspire various men, and the inspiration of my spirit will express my word. I'm going to have them put it in writing, and you will have something tangible by which you can judge by and learn from, so that no one can come along and deceive you. And that is God's word to us. It's for us. The limitations are for us. It's for safety. It's for security. And Jesus says, don't add to it or take away from it. Verse 20, the promise of his coming. The one testifying these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Quote of Christ. The word quickly doesn't mean soon. It means when he does come, it's going to happen quickly. And then the amen, so be it, of a truth. Then the response, yes, come Lord Jesus, is the call from the church, call from heaven, call from God's people. And then the pronouncement of blessing, in verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with all of you. The book of Revelation, many might think that I wouldn't even dare to go through Revelation to teach it or to try to understand it. But the book of Revelation is the only book in the scriptures that promises a blessing. And that's what John, or the Lord through John, is expressing here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It said, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." Again, it's called prophecy. "And blessing upon those who keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand," or is near. A blessing upon the person who reads, and those who hear, and those who keep, that is, guard the words of this prophecy. Remember, the book of Revelation was written to Christians who were suffering for the faith. Some were in prison waiting to die. Some were in permanent places of torment and suffering, even as Jesus said they would. And they wonder, where is the victory? And we even hear it today where some Christians say, "Where's the victory? There is no victory, so let's go out and take it." Always the impatience of man. Never to wait on the Lord to bring the victory. We think it should happen now, so now there's teachings and doctrines that say we got to go out and take it. Take it for God. Nothing's being taken for God. Not until he comes and takes it for himself. But there are those who say, "Where's the victory?" And the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John was to be for all believers, for their encouragement, so that they will know what is going to happen in the future as it's happening before it happens. So we know what the outcome is. We can see the victory. We can know God's plan. God's grace is with us. His blessing is upon us. For those who read, who hear, and who keep the prophecy of this book. Again, the word "keep" is to guard. The book of Revelation, what we call the book of Revelation, for many, many Christians in the first century, it was their book. They read it constantly so that they could continually see and understand and be waiting for the victory. But more importantly than all of that, when it warns about adding to or taking away from the prophecy of this book, there's a direct reference to the very last message that Jesus has given to the church. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it's the Lord's message to seven churches. We see the number 7 all through the book of Revelation. The number 7 represents completeness. It's not just for each of those individual churches, but it is the complete message of Christ to his church before he comes back. It's how he sees his people, what we are to do and what we are to not do. And anything that takes away from or adds to God's word distracts from his message. God's people should be saying, "Okay, we are saved. We're waiting for our salvation. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what does he think of us? And what does he want us to do? And how does he want us to respond while we're waiting for him so that when he comes, he finds us doing the very things that he commands us to do?" But you see, if I have some message that God gave me last night about how all of you are to put all your wallets and purses in the offering plate as it comes through, not only would it add anguish to your mind and soul over losing your purse and wallet, which you probably wouldn't do anyway, you disobedient people. Rebels, I can already see it in your eyes, rebels. Not only would it be anguish for you individually to hear something like that, but it would distract from the message of Christ to his church. There are people today who say, this book, the Bible's hard to understand, and they put it on their shelf and they would rather go by personal messages. But it is never the message of Christ to his church before he comes. Most of them are messages that have to do with how you can attain wealth and riches. How you can attain for yourself. And not what you give up because you belong to Christ. It is a book of blessing. It is a book of warning. It is a book of encouragement. And God's people are to read and listen and keep, guard the things that are in it. For it is God's final message to us until he returns. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for looking upon our circumstances and conditions here on the earth, how we do need encouragement. We are so thankful that you designed for John to receive the revelation of our Lord, so that we, your people, can be encouraged and know what is coming in the future, even on its way now. As events and circumstances take place here on the earth, the fulfillment of the prophecies of this book are being fulfilled. That we can wait with anticipation, expectantly looking for the coming of our Lord, as you have given us encouragement to do. We pray that you'd help us to heed the warning, not that we would add to or take away from the book, but that we would not be deceived by people coming along with new and additional prophecies and revelation that is not from God. We pray that we would keep the words of this scroll, of this book, and even cherish the entire Word of God, and allow your Word to speak to us rather than false words and messages of others. We ask for your blessing upon us, as you have promised in the book of Revelation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.